and welcome to For the Record, our bi-weekly show in which we take one recently released album and take a deep dive into it. You can listen to us every other Thursday at 9:30 a.m. San Francisco time on the world's best internet radio station, BFF.fm, or subscribe to the podcast at ForTheRecordPodcast, all one word, .com. This week we're talking about the second album in 10 years from Montreal band Pi Pi, that's P-Y-P-Y, titled Sacred Times. The first song is called Lonely Striped Sock. Is a band that apparently gained cult status in Montreal by having just a crazy live show and one album that they put out 10 years ago. They were composed of what people viewed as a supergroup. I haven't heard of any of these other bands, but they're members of Duchess Says, CPC Gangbangs, and Red Mass, who were apparently big in Montreal at the time. And then they just kind of went away, and now they've come back with this really crazy psych rock kind of new wave album. It's really tough to describe. I heard about this because Evan Minsker, who's the former news director at Pitchfork, has a blog now called Seesaw.fun, which is really great. And it's all about kind of like punk and underground music. And this was one of the like new releases they mentioned a few weeks ago. And so I checked it out and it just really grabbed me.
Yeah, this track is so, you know, you think it's one thing because it starts off with this very loose bass and really funky guitar. And you're like, oh, this is kind of this funk record. And then her vocals come in and they're so simultaneously kind of playful, but also menacing and spooky. And so there's this great kind of presence. And then with this just bizarre metaphor that I don't know what it's a metaphor for, but the Lonely Striped Sock. And she
don't
is,
pull me up.
She is singing in the voice of the sock. And yeah, don't pull me up. Don't pull me up. And but then that even comes up in this really, I think, fun structure where you can kind of a verse and then it just goes into this what seems to be this kind of refrain and then goes back into the verse and like, no, actually, I'm going to come back with the don't pull me up. But then just hitting you over the head with these heavy, heavy guitars. And you're like, oh, no, this is a hard rock song. And then, no, you get those pew, 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 pew synths going in. Like, it's just all these crazy things thrown in the blender. It's really fun.
Yeah, Annie Claude Deschenes is the lead singer, and there are some male vocals on here as well, but she's just got such an interesting voice. It's almost like a creepy banshee. I don't know how to describe it. It's very distinctive.
Yeah, it's really spooky, and then that's paired with these lyrics that are mostly just kind of, I don't know, the sock is stuck in a box and wants to go out, but don't pull her up. Like, okay. And then it just starts threatening you where she's like, I'm going to kick you in the eyes, which is not like, wow, that's really, she's really flexible. It's just, yeah. It's super fun. And it gets harder and harder because, you know, I mentioned the hard rock in these choruses. And then later in the song, there's increasingly lengthy, just super hard rock jams that are amazing. The guitar work here is sort of the second credited member of the band, Roy Vucino, is on guitar and backing vocals, and he can shred. This is just such a blast.
So the next song we'll play is called She's Back.
We'll be right back.
where that first track I thought started very funky and then went into a different direction, this one starts much more as a straightforward kind of noisy guitar rock track, which is kind of like garage rock, because that's kind of what I would expect.
It's so scuzzy.
Yeah, it's very, it's messy, and it's not lo-fi, but it just feels very untidy. Mm-hmm. And this is an album that's released on Goner Records, which is, I think, mostly a record store in, I think, Memphis, and they don't put out a lot of music, although I guess they did do a couple of Ty Siegel's early albums and do like variant versions of random records, but they're not really a very prolific record label. But I know them; they do a lot of just, again, focus on garage rock and noisy. They do an annual festival that, again, tends to be in that direction. So I'm like, okay, this is more what I would expect on a Goner band. And then we start hearing these horn sections and crazy synth blasts. And after all of that garage rock, we get to that bridge where it just feels very new wavy. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, this is a band that is never content to stay in one place for very long. And it makes a short record that feels like a journey. And each of these, none of these songs is that long, but they're, each of them is a blast.
Yeah, it's 9 tracks. And I think the whole record is like less than 40 minutes. It's very short. But all of these songs take you on such a journey. And they're all really different, but they hang together well. And I'm usually the one who does a lot of reading and like background research as we prepare for these podcasts. And I just couldn't find a lot of information about this band and this record. And so I don't know if these songs have been written over the past 10 years or whether they kind of did their own thing and then came back together and were like, okay, we're going to record a new record.
It's just this wonderful monolith that appeared out of nowhere on a kind of obscure record label, and it's just amazing. I do like this one. You know, it's a relatively short track, but it actually is a sequel because they had a song called She's Gone on their previous first record. And so She's Gone, and then 10 years later, she's back. And I really, the one other thing that kind of, when I first heard this record, her vocals, the way she is singing, feels kind of pinched, and the production super reminiscent of another singer, Katie J. Pearson. Mm-hmm. Like weirdly just like, no, totally different style, but some of that power and kind of squeaky charm that's mm-hmm. really quite delightful. And it just a blast of a song in under 3 minutes, and it just, it's done.
Yeah. So the next song we'll play is called Erase. Talk about the extremely groovy bass riffs. That's Philippe Clement on bass, and they're just so energetic. And the Simon Bessre on drums, also just like really aggro, but then sometimes with all these flourishes. And they just sound really great. Like the production on this record is really strong and clean with a lot of variation. Like I like how she's got the I don't know how they do that effect. She sounds like she's standing back from the mic. Mm-hmm. And then in other songs, she's much more close mic'd, and it gives such a different feel. Like this one really feels like you're watching a high energy live show and they're playing in front of you.
Yeah, it's so intense. And what I kind of love about it is that the way that it starts, where it just kind of, it feels like it's picking back up and into a chorus, where the first few times I heard this record, it's like, oh, the previous song is just continuing and it's in the same rhythm. And I think it's in the same key and the same energy, before I realized, no, there's a totally different song. And the insanity of these choruses that are like, you know, almost like 40 seconds long, and it's just one word over and over again, but with she just chews that word and gets every bit of energy just erased, and she changes key in the middle of it, and it should not work. It's so amazing. And then that little discordant just happening that recurs throughout it. And then when you feel like, oh, I get what this song is, it gets super triumphant and bright at the end. And then you hear that same din, and it just ends the song with a very like Casio tone, low tech, you know, drum machine at the end. It's so crazy. This song's a blast, and it's worth going. Now this album is really cooking.
So the next song we'll play is called Poodle Wig. By the way, the last song is called, last song is called Poodle Escape. So there's a poodle theme.
They like poodles.
This is Poodle Wig.
This track, I think, ends kind of a trilogy of songs that are all in the same tempo, and each kind of picks up from the last one. Like I talked about the drum machines ending the previous track, this one starts with a drum machine before then going quickly off the rails into this kind of unhinged synth melody and this other synth sound that I just hear as barks, like the poodle, burr, burr, burr. And then with horn blasts and then once again, crazy bits of super aggressive guitar shredding. Like there's just, and it's under 2 minutes. It's under 2 minutes. This album is so awesome.
These songs are so maximalist and there's so much going on. And I think I've said this before, but they take you on a journey. Like there are so many left turns that you don't expect. And I am continuously surprised by each of these songs, even though I've listened to them many times now.
Yeah. And I think the biggest left turn is what happens when we go from this song, which has been in a groove sonically, into the next track. The fifth track is called I Am a Simulation.
My favorite song on the album, and I think probably the best song on the album. And we got some of Annie's vocals there at the beginning, but this is mostly voiced by Roy Vucino, who's the guitarist. And what they say about it on their Bandcamp page is it pays homage to both Devo and classic late 70s big power pop, example First Cars LP, but with a manic nature that is 150% circa right now, which seems like a pretty good synopsis.
Yeah, I didn't read that summary, but yeah, when I hear the da-da-da-da-da, like the super percussive kind of gibberish singing is so Devo, and I love it. And yeah, it makes me so uneasy, even as I want to get up and dance.
And the programming of that synthesizer, the tone of it is so late 70s for sure.
Yeah, and then you get the great vocoder, and even though it's so uneasy, we go through a pretty extensive section of bridge out of this, but then it gradually, the tone does change and it becomes a little more upbeat, and you get these more, as in my notes I wrote it as a friendly guitar starts to come in, even as you're getting all the, yeah, so I love how fast, percussive, silly, and unease that still opens up into a certain sunniness, and yeah, so danceable.
It's super catchy.
Heck yes. So it is right in the middle point of the album, but no, we're not going back to stay in new wave. We're getting real noisy and intense again on this next track. It's called 15 Sec. I really enjoy this track. It is so intense, just this relentless guitar, and then the relents in my notes again, I describe it as just chug, this just hitting you over the head of bass, guitar, and drums all together, thunka, thunka, thunka. And her voice, this crazy effect, which I really appreciate, of it almost, I call it like a reverse echo, where it's like kind of, and it come, and then it coalesces, like she's some kind of supernatural being summoned down to just hit you over the head with the force of her voice. I love this song.
I like the sequencing that we go from like late 70s, early 80s new wave sound to kind of an late 70s, early 80s like hard rock, like big rock hair band kind of sound. Well, like just the real shredding guitar and heavy bass and drums.
Yeah, and just a little bit, you know, kind of psych with the echoey stuff, and then her voice being just, I don't know where even to place that. It's just otherworldly.
Yeah.
And what is also fun, because it's like, it feels like we hear there where it kind of just ends after a couple of minutes and like, no. And then it comes back, and then there's just more jamming and more crazy, and then it changes keys. It's just, there's so much stuff going on, and they make the most of every second on these tracks.
What I really like is that this album is so high energy throughout. There's no slow songs. There's no really even breaks in any of these songs. They're just like, what, full speed ahead through the whole record, and then it's done.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And we stay in this kind of more psyche direction, but then get even more expansive on the next track, which is the title song, Sacred
Title
Times.
Title track, you mean?
Yes. It's the title song. That's a thing people say.
This song and asked me what year it was from, I would have no idea. It really sounds sort of like a late 60s psych rock track with all the minor key, like intense guitar and kind of echoey, spacey synths in the background. But it's really hard to pin down.
Again, and so much comes down, I think, to the otherworldly presence of that voice that is just... Again, she talks about like, all of the stuff about it was 2,000 years ago. Later, hear about there's 2,000 rings waiting and my patience is timeless.
Yeah,
and
it's the just lyrics like, are very weird.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is very murky. A lot of it is just very freaky. Yeah, again, it feels very, parts of this are very psych rock. There's other parts that are very prog rock. The lyrics feel very, you know, again, like when, you know, bands decided like, oh, we're going to sing about elves and fairies and, you know, the metal bands and of course Led Zeppelin all getting in on that. And this feels like a little of that. And again, you look at the cover art, which is pretty awesome. This pyramid with a security camera on it. And yeah, this feeling of being just ancient and timeless and kind of scary. And yeah, it's like this song, it's like, I feel like it's the least disciplined song on the record. It's very sprawled out, but there's so many different things going on. There's this crazy synth overture that then comes back towards the end of the song, different melodies that interlock, but yeah, it all works. It's a blast.
All of these songs are very different and have a really different feel, but they hang together really well as an album. And if you play it end to end, I think it really coheres and it's sequenced well. And it's not just her voice that is the link. I think there's something about like the guitar styles and the bass, which is just so groovy throughout. It really, it all fits together well.
Yeah, this is just a top-notch band from top to bottom. Everyone is so skilled, and I know that the only person credited for anything other than guitar, bass, drums is the is multi-instrumentalist I've seen her credited. Yeah. So there's all these synths and there's horns at various points. And I think, yeah, she clearly is a next level talent on all fronts, because this song, this album sounds amazing.
It makes me want to go back and check out some of the other bands she's been in.
For sure.
So the next song we'll play is the penultimate track, and it's called Vanishing Blinds. I prefer to live my life through vertical blinds. It's like a game of search and find. No need to move, stay stuck in the room. When the city's empty, when the city's empty, when the city's empty, when the city's empty.
These kind of genre bending and timeless tracks, I think it's fun that this one that feels the most sort of a time and place where I feel like, oh yeah, this is some 80s new wave. And it also has some of the most kind of auto, like comprehensible lyrics that feel like, oh, I can kind of understand what this song is about. And yet it's the most sort of, it's another super high energy track about being kind of hiding inside and being afraid of what's out there when the city's empty. And you're looking at the world through these blinds, and it's just very like, oh, if it's so sad, and yet so energetic.
The like tone and those really high synths reminded me a lot of that Kiwi Jr. record Chopper, where and the first song Unspeakable Things. Yeah. And I think there's one called Night Vision, and it also has the same kind of feel. They're from Toronto, not Montreal, but you know,
these Canadians. All these Canadian cities, you know, they're all saying Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver. It's all the same city, right? No, but they have such a great feeling, and there's great lyrics in this also about like, I'm not afraid of the creatures of the night. And since we just had Halloween, I felt like, oh, this is some really good spookiness. And even the kind of synth sounds just have a spookiness to them. So yeah, this is a really great Halloween party track,
but still very, very high energy.
Yeah, very, very high energy. And yeah, high energy track about being stuck in your house and afraid of the world. And unfortunately, you know, afraid of the world, when is this band going to be touring? And you look, and it's like they went down to Tennessee for Gonerfest. Really? Otherwise, it just seems like, well, more shows in Montreal and around Quebec. And I hopefully we can do our part to, you know, spread the word that
we were in Montreal a year ago. If only
we had known. But yeah, that this band, hopefully let's get the hype train going and they'll want a tour, because I feel like this is a live act I don't want to miss. The energy that is contained in this record can't be contained. It's 31 minutes and it feels bigger, and yet I blink and it's over, because it's just this breakneck pace.
And the technical skills of every member of the band are so great. Like, I would just love to see them perform this live. Yeah.
And I didn't find anything about who produced it, but
the
production's really tight, where it feels anarchic and yet very clean.
Yeah, I could not find a lot of credits, interviews, anything really. And, you know, I'm so glad that I found this record. And people sometimes ask me, how do we keep discovering new music? And, you know, you really have to put in the time to read, you know, newsletters like Seesaw.fun, which is great. And they also have a podcast, and like listening to all these podcasts and talking to friends. And, you know, you listen to a lot of stuff that's like, that's not really my thing. And I kind of push it aside. But then you find these gems where you're like, this is terrific.
Yeah, I am just really excited. And I feel like, you know, oftentimes people ask us when they know we have this show and like, oh, what are recent bands? And I feel like this is one where I think there's something in here for almost anyone. Like, and sometimes all on one song will have something for everyone because it's just, it's touching on so many bases.
I don't know. I mean, the question of whether you would just recommend this to anyone who's not a music fan, I'm not sure. It's a little weird, a little out there for, yeah, I think, people okay. who are more into mainstream music.
Yeah, fair point.
But
fair
to
point.
Your point.
But I think a lot of people are asking, they're asking for something off the beaten path. And they're like, oh, here you go.
Yeah.
And then if they don't want it off the beaten path, so I'll tell them to listen to the Beths.
Yes. Always the Beths. You can recommend them to everyone. They're fantastic. Everyone should like them.
Yeah. Anyway, but this podcast is about Pie Pie.
So, yeah. So we're going to go out with the last song, which, as I mentioned earlier, is called Poodle Escape.
And for a Quebecois band, it's the first and only track that has lyrics in French, but not a lot of them.
Yeah. So again, it's called Poodle Escape, and we've been discussing Pie Pie's second album in 10 years called Sacred Times, and you've been listening to For the Record. Thank you, as always, so much for listening.
Proud member of the BFF.fm podcast network. Learn more at podcasts.bff.fm.
BFF.fm, best frequencies forever.